Alrighty, hey everyone, it's Dave O'Connor and this is webinar number 5 in our Alchemy series, and it's about going the extra mile. And I hope you're keeping well, because now is the, I guess, crucial point in the program, right, where the old habits can really tend to kick in, right? They can really tend to kick in and start to sabotage us, and any chance that those old habits get, they try to creep back in there, you see? So it could be that you went on a little weekend break or a vacation, yeah, or you took your eye off the ball and didn't listen to your blueprints for a few days or a week or so, and that's when those old habits can tend to come in and sabotage us. So again, I just want to emphasize the importance of doing the unconscious work and doing it regularly. Quite simply, without this part of it, I just don't get the same results. And it's really, really fascinating when I see a certain amount of people, of course, really getting into it on a call, on a series, and making it a habit and, you know, just seeing those changes happening. And then smaller group of people, you're always going to have a smaller group of people who, again, have just allowed life to get in the way, and they're not taking that time out every day to activate their unconscious and deepen that rapport. And the difference is really night and day. It really is. So I've got to keep, as your coach, reminding you and pointing it out, right, that if you don't make it a habit, as well as some of the other things I cover here in this call, well, then your future will resemble your past. And, with this whole area of going the extra mile, really what allows people to keep their heads in the game, especially when the going gets tough, is to make sure that they have certain habits in place. It's easier to go the distance, right, if you have the habits in place. So I'm going to share with you what I have found to be the most practical habits that people need to be engaged in on a regular basis, and also then the you could call the practical ones and the mindset ones. And we have about 7 habits to go through. So as you know, you've probably quit your business many, many times, right, where one day you just say, that's it, I've had enough, and then you wake up and you've slept on it and you say, okay, what was I thinking? And maybe you do quit for short periods of time, and then, again, it won't leave you alone. I mean, you've got to answer that call, and you've got to make a go of this opportunity. So one of the most common causes of failure is the habit of quitting when we're overtaken by a temporary defeat. And I think we're all guilty of this mistake at one time or another. So I'm sure most probably everybody here has read the book Think and Grow Rich. Well, I love the story from that book, 3 Feet from Gold. And if you don't know it, I'm just going to link it in with what we're doing here. But it was all about this guy who was caught by the gold fever in the gold rush days, and he went west to dig and grow rich. And after weeks of hard labor, he was indeed rewarded by discovering gold. And he gathered his team, and that comprised of a few relatives and a few neighbors, and went to work on the mine. So down went the drills, and of course, up went the hopes of the team. I'm sure that you have discovered that in your own life, right? That you put in a certain amount of work, and then a few people maybe key people have actually joined your business. And then everybody's hopes, especially in the beginning, right, are very, very high. People are very passionate, very excited. But of course, it's always when the chips are down. It's always when that initial period and burst of enthusiasm wears off. That's the key. Can you keep your head in the game then? So in the case of our friend, his name is Darby, everyone is excited, but then something happened. The vein of ore disappeared. So they come to the end of their rainbow, and the pot of gold was no longer there. And then, as so often happens with people, they drilled on, but they got desperate, sort of desperately trying to pick up the vein again, and again, all to no avail. And finally, they decide to quit. So they sold the machinery to a junk man for a few hundred dollars and took the train back home with her tail wagging between her legs, yeah? So, you know, have you ever experienced that? I mean, of course the answer is yes, we've all experienced that. You know, have you or your team, members of your team, took the train back home to your comfort zone? So the junk man wasn't your average junk man. He called in a mining engineer to look at the mine and do a little calculating. And the engineer advised that the project had failed because the owners were not familiar with fault lines. So have you ever noticed that maybe even you're prospecting a person or a certain people, and you've done it a few times, and then you give up on them, but then a short time later, you found that someone else has signed them up? I mean, that can happen too, can't it? And often you're going to need to call in your own trusted mining engineer from within, you know? So anyway, his calculations show that the vein would be found just 3 feet from where Darby and his team had stopped drilling. And that's exactly where it was found. The junk man went on to make millions of dollars in ore from the mine, right? Again, because he knew enough to seek expert counsel before giving up. So how many times have we stopped short of success? You know, it's said that success is always, you know, just around the corner. And so many people are so near and yet so far. And I believe, as I said to you from the get-go on these calls, that you've got to really fight for your success. And really, you've got to put certain habits into place. So here's some of the habits that, again, I have found work very, very well, that you actually need to have in place, that it really does make your success certain if you put some of these habits into place. So the first one is the habit of planning. And I know, we've heard it maybe many times over, yet people are very poor planners. One of the most common things I hear from people is, I'm not structured, I'm not organized, I'm very easily distracted during the day. And really, that is for lack of planning. So I'm going to encourage you here in this call to think like a diamond and to plan like a diamond, because planning, it really does promote focus, it creates structure, it provides performance standards, it reveals the obstacles and the challenges, it stimulates creativity, and of course it saves you so much time and energy. So we have our vision that you're moving towards, that's in your blueprints. Hopefully you're taking action more regularly. And if you're not, then this call is going to be great to help you along there. But it's the how you're going to get there. You know, that's always then the fear when people look out to that vision and they say, well, how am I going to get there? But there's very definite steps that you can take on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, that will just take the fear away from this big daunting vision that's out there in your future. And one of the real keys there is to have a weekly plan. And that's what I've noticed that most high performers do consistently. is they really do create a weekly schedule. And I go through the process. Generally, it's every Sunday morning for me. I just take an hour out. It could be different for you, but you find a time, ideally on the weekend. And what you would ideally do is, first of all, you'd reflect on the week before, on how you showed up. And then you would, based on that, schedule your week ahead. So what I like to do when I do this is I like to write down all of my wins. Very important, because often we're giving ourselves a hard time. We're saying, wow, I didn't really move forward at all last week. But when you actually truly write down your wins and you start to dwell on that, then you realize, you know what, I did get some stuff done. I did move forward. Now, it's also good to have a reality check. So you could write down your frustrations. So what was it about the week that frustrated you? Maybe you didn't manage your emotions as well as you should have, and that stopped you making the amount of calls that you wanted to make, or in general, the actions that you wanted to take. And, you know, maybe you fell way short of a lot of the goals that you put into place. Maybe you said you were going to schedule in time to do some workouts, but you didn't get around to doing that, again, because you let life get in the way. So from that then, what you do on a weekly basis is you learn lessons. You look for those aha moments. And you start to learn from your mistakes. And again, I know it sounds very simple, but you see, what happens when you do this and you do it regularly is you start to notice patterns in your behaviors. So, for example, from a positive point of view, that's where I get the feedback from people. They'll tell me when they practice and listen to their blueprints, and they do that every day, as opposed to skipping a few days here and there, then the results are much better. I hear that all the time, like I said to you at the start. Then you'll be able to see, well, when I actually did exercise and go to the gym, I had more energy and I got more done. So the point is that every week is offering you an education from life. And to miss those lessons really is to miss the wisdom that is on offer there. So, and again, hopefully that does make sense to you, because a lot of people just, you know, glance over this and they don't actually do it. And I try and keep it simple as well, by the way. I mean, I just kind of say to myself, you know what? What would make it a great week? And I just write down three things that I think would make it a great week, no matter what. And again, I just say to myself, I will accomplish the following priorities in the next week while experiencing ease, flow, and fun. That's the mantra that I give to myself. And sometimes I'll get more than that done, and that's better again, that's a bonus. But if I keep it simple and I just identify three things that will make it a great week, then wow. I mean, it makes for a much happier week, I can tell you. Now then, the second habit that we need to have in place, and it's something we already know, but the question that I need to always ask you is, well, are we doing what we know? And that is the habit of consistent action. Like, on a daily basis, are you actually doing the activities that you know you should be doing in order to achieve something of your vision every day, to move forwards instead of staying stuck or going backwards? And again, that is just something that you can plan on a daily basis, and you can course correct on a daily basis as well. Now, the feedback I get from most people is, no, they're not doing enough activity, right, to get the results that they are looking to get in their future. So I always say to people, well, you've got to identify those priority actions. And again, you've probably got a to-do list, which could go on forever. We all do. You probably have a to-do list, and you could put you know, hundreds of things on that list. But again, the point is, if you identify five high leverage actions that you are going to accomplish in your day, that would make it a really productive day, and you really put those ahead of the low return actions, then that's going to make a massive difference to you. So you identify what are those high leverage actions. And in your business, it's pretty straightforward. We know that it's going to be to make those phone calls, to have those meaningful conversations. For some people, and I emphasize some people on the call, it's going to be through social media, because for many people, in my experience, the majority of people, that's actually a low return action because they don't use it very well. They allow themselves to get distracted on social media, and it can be a low return action and prevent people from taking high leverage actions. And then there are people who are doing very well because they're not just constantly looking at the news feed and comparing themselves negatively to other people. So all of that is very, very important. So when you identify those high priority actions, then what you do is you ask yourself, okay, so what's my ultimate mission today? It's to identify those actions, take those actions, and everything else works around that. Okay, so again, it's very straightforward. It could be to have five meaningful conversations and create three one-on-one meetings or whatever you want to call that. It could be to get 10 new numbers and get information to those people immediately. That could be a priority action. So what I would encourage you to do is to write out your top five list and put them in order of importance as well. So it could be to have those five conversations, to create some meetings with people, to recruit a business partner, to get 10 new numbers, whatever. Whatever it may be. But I find it's very important that if you're just trying to remember everything in your head with everything else you have to do, then you're not going to get around to completing that list. So initially, until it's a habit, I say to people, well, carry the list around with you. You know, write it out in the card, put it into your pocket or your purse or whatever, and carry it around and refer to it when you go around. Right, because again, people are just too easily distracted. Very important. So what you're asking yourself regularly is, are your daily actions high leveraged and taking you in the direction of where you want to go? Are the actions that you're taking, are they moving you further away? Because we waste so much time and we become masters at justifying what we do and why we do it. But the bottom line is, you only have to look at your results or lack of to see what is actually going on. Make sense? Okay, great. Next. Can find the slide. And here it is. And we touched on this in the preview call. So you've got the consistent actions that are high leverage actions, but there's also the habit of boldness. And you know, I love to talk about boldness, because if I was to ask you the question, when will your finest hour come and how will it arrive? I mean, you really think that it's going to happen without an act of boldness or supreme confidence of some description? Because every action step taken in a spirit of boldness accelerates the success in your life. So if you're in the habit of taking the consistent actions, but your radar is on, right? You're looking wherever you are, you recognize everywhere is an opportunity, every second is an opportunity. Well, boldness really is the act of responding to situations in a way that is essential to effectively deal with the shifting demand for the moment. So you do have to be spontaneous. You do have to have an increased situational awareness about you, right? And The more, of course, you do it, the more your confidence levels come up. And I will also say that, you know, boldness, it does also involve stretching, growing, leaving that comfort zone, taking risks. And, you know, when you decide upon a specific course of action, it demands that you do jump in and you go for it, because good things will happen for those who do just have that attitude, who go for it, who take a chance, step outside the norm, and at times allow themselves to be vulnerable. And one of the first things you must do around that is just change a belief system around it. Stop thinking of risk as just a one-shot do-or-die situation. Instead, start thinking of these calculated risks, these bold actions, as a journey of exploration. You know, a journey that you choose to embark on for the purposes of achieving and moving towards your vision. So we could say that you as an entrepreneur don't take risks, actually. You choose to go on a journey to explore, right, these other avenues that will get you to where you want to go. And, you know, boldness, it doesn't mean being arrogant. It doesn't mean being insensitive. No, you're more aware, right? It's a spirited word that can eloquently even describe having more courage. And it's not an inherited trait. It's a characteristic that you can develop. You can make it a habit, training yourself to do it. So I suggest that you tag on to the end of your top five list at least one bold action that you can take every day. Number four is the habit of reframing. The habit of reframing. And, well, of course, that's hugely important on so many levels, right? Because if you only have one way of looking at things, okay, then you're going to seriously limit your chances of success. So I've mentioned it before. You've heard it endless times before. But one of the things you have to reframe is failure. And know that, of course, failure is necessary. It's essential to your success. One of the biggest limiting beliefs to your progress is that failure should be avoided at all costs. But it's, you know, when I look at my own career, and I really detested, as you know, the idea of standing in front of groups of people, but I knew that if I wanted to get my message out there, I wanted to fulfill my purpose, it was going to have to be something that I did, and I had to make the mistakes, and I had to fail over and over and over again. And when I came to that point where I was okay with that, and I was prepared to do it, never easy, then, well, you develop and build your character, don't you? That's certainly what happened for me. It was a progressive, taking more control over my state, being able to, at different levels, grab the hearts and minds of people in the audience in front of me. You know, and I won't lie to you, it was a pretty long journey for me. This has been a pretty long journey for me, you know, where I couldn't string two words together, where I just think about delivering a presentation and I'd feel fear in every fiber of my being. And when I started getting better, it was even then, even when I was comfortable about doing it, it was showing up and no one to an event and no one would be there. And then when I went full time as a speaker again, I had to endlessly turn up in places where there might be no one there or one person there. But because I made it a habit just to keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and I was okay with failing over and over again, knowing that it was just moving me closer to success. So Thomas Watson, founder of IBM, there's his formula. Double your rate of failure. That's his formula for success. So the art of setting and achieving any goal is common to us all. It's the same journey that we all have to go through. You've got to dig deeper. I mean, someone like J.K. Rowling, is, in her own words, was as close to, as she could possibly get to being homeless in the UK at some point, right? She was so down and out and so poor. And that's what she says, that it's impossible to live without failing at something. Right? Unless you live so cautiously, which is people staying in a comfort zone, that you might as well not have lived at all. Right? In which case you fail by default. So it's also then reframing the obstacles, the challenges, the setbacks. You know, again, we don't want to stretch and take those bold actions or even take the consistent actions, right? Because we're afraid, right? We're afraid of change. We're afraid of challenge. We see obstacles as obstacles when we should be seeing them as opportunities. So Henry Ford, as you know, said, obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. So the person who trains themselves to stay laser focused on their goal, well, they're going to not see the obstacles. And it's your, to the degree that you don't see the obstacles, to the degree that the obstacles become invisible, to the degree that you can reframe it and see the obstacles as your friend, they're necessary for your growth, to build your character. All of that is essential to you moving forward. So instead of feeling, when you have an obstacle come your way or a challenge, instead of feeling angry or frustrated or resentful or disillusioned, right, you do need to look at a much bigger picture and demand more of yourself. Because often these obstacles are showing up to correct certain weak spots in our personality so that we can be prepared for success. Arnold Schwarzenegger once said that the obstacles that people had against him being an actor or being in politics, right? He always said, look, those were their obstacles, not mine. Often people will say, well, I don't have the money. Even if I suggest that you schedule in more joy in your life. And some people say, well, I don't have the money to go on a vacation right now or to take extra time off or whatever. But again, I suggest that you go with Warren Buffett's advice there. It's not a case of resources, but resourcefulness. You can always find a way. So, like Thomas Edison, you've got to be a master at reframing so that every call that you make, especially every no that you get, it's all an opportunity, right? And then going back to the whole thing of failure, you've got to leverage that, right? These things are a highway to success. These things are a part of the process. So what I also find really, really essential and it really helped me massively, right, is to reframe the journey that I was on. That you really do have to stop seeing it as this small, limited story. And often people see themselves in a very poor light. You know, what have I got to offer? What's so great about me? There's so much competition out there. Again, they're doing the comparative thinking thing. Whereas if you were to stand back and look at the journey that we've all had to take in our lives, there's always going to be dark days. And it's always going to look something like this, where there are highs and lows, there are peaks and valleys. Often before you're about to go to the next level, you can hit a lower point where the universe again is testing you. So really it's to know that you are on your own journey, that there is no such thing as an overnight success. Even when I achieved a lot of success very quickly, and people said, how did you do that? How did you do that overnight? I said, you haven't seen the 5 or 7 years that came before this, as we never almost see in a person's journey. Okay, so you really do have to step back and, you know, even look at the network marketer's journey, right? Your own hero's journey, where once you stop dabbling, once you get over refusing your call to adventure and you start to move forward, then you're going to start to be tested. Because this thing called life wants to see how serious you are. And not always, but certainly at some point in our lives, if it's not even in our journey in business, but you are going to get stuck. You're going to hit a plateau. And a lot of people stay there for a lot longer than they need to, because they're not looking at the whole journey, because they lose faith in themselves, because they haven't put the habits into place. And, you know, hey, I've met people, you've met people, and maybe that's sidetracked them for most of their life, where life just passed the person by then. So I always say, let that not be you, because if you weather those storms and you stay true to your vision and you start applying some of these principles, then you will emerge out of any negativity and you'll notice a transformation has happened. You've become more, and then you can truly reap the rewards and achieve the success that you deserve. So I suggest that you really do see yourself in a different light, that you're the hero of your own great adventure, your own great blockbuster movie. And like any great movie, right, the hero or heroine has got to go through a series of tests and trials before they actually get to their destination. So, you know, when you see the people who've shaped our world throughout history, business and in entertainment or inventions or whatever, world leaders, you remind yourself of their stories of struggle even, and what they had to go through. And if they hadn't gone through that, then they wouldn't have become who they became and achieved what they achieved. So Helen Keller said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. So continuing with the habits, and it's a nice follow-on from having your own hero's journey and recognizing that and stepping back, because often we're too up close to the screen of our lives, stepping back and seeing the bigger picture. Well, number 5 then is the habit of the comeback. You know, one of my favorite movies of all time was Rocky. Right? I love Rocky or any of those type of movies that involve the underdog. And very much because I could relate to it in my own life. And I'm sure you can at different points in your own life as well. Because I was never the most talented. I was always, I guess, faced with people who had a lot more natural talent than I did. So, like, you know, I was very thin. You know, when I was growing up, I wasn't in very good shape. And I had to work much harder than most people to build some muscle. And there were so many people, I did a few, you know, contests, bodybuilding contests and things like that. Not many now, but I did a few. But there were always people who had so much better, had better genetics, you know, they were at a better natural shape. But because I had that desire just to somehow get into good shape, right, I'd noticed that I had more of a desire. Not as much talent, but I had the burning desire. And, you know, I'm a pretty slow starter, I have to say. Well, not so much now, but over the years, again, it took me a while to really build a habit of getting in front of groups and getting good at that, to actually turn around my life, especially in business. That took quite a long time for me, you know, because I always kind of felt like I was the underdog, but I always loved then just that feeling of coming from nowhere, like the phoenix rising from the ashes. And, you know, it's why some of those movies are so popular, because we can all relate to them. So you've got to be able to have that persistence, go the distance, and, you know, to be really, really able to bounce back quickly from a defeat. Because isn't that what resilience and highly resilient people can do? And again, I think that is massively important. You know, how long does it take you to recover from adversity, from a defeat, from a disappointment? Because that's going to speak volumes about where you're at on your journey. Because if you can train yourself to even just drop the thought, that's what I always said to myself, man, these things are only thoughts. These fears are only thoughts. Can I drop the thought? Can I drop the thought? And just let it go and step outside of it as if it hadn't happened. And it was hard, right? I mean, if it was easy, we'd be able to do it very quickly. But this is a work in progress. So, for example, you might have situations where you think you've met some of the best people in the world, right, relationally or in business. And some of your team may do nothing after they've promised you everything. Some of your relationships may not go where you expected them to go. Heck, I mean, I've seen it over and over again where, you know, a person's team, they've had to completely start from scratch again. Now, that's a level in itself. And it's a key leadership level, is to be willing to course correct, to be okay with reinventing yourself, to be okay and even excited to start all over again, because you're going to do even better this time. You're going to build an even better team this time. You're going to learn from your mistakes. You know, I find that that is one of the key secrets. If you can just keep bouncing back over and over and over again. If your attitude and your mantra is, I will not be denied. So the comeback kid, as such, sees any of these things, the disappointment, the failure, as an opportunity to grow. They laugh in the face of adversity and they rise to their feet over and over again. And at times when you're down, other people are indeed going to write you off. But again, you know, make that your reason, not your excuse. Don't let them define you. So any of these things, pain, failure, embarrassment, loss, they're great motivators. And you should allow that type of adversity to force your hand to make new choices and take new actions. Use that pain as the fuel that drives you to come back over and over again. Decide to fight. Again, we talked about managing your emotions a lot during this course. So you've got to remind yourself, you know, where you've been, why you're doing what you're doing. And then, again, just have that resolve that nothing's ever going to stop you. So that's what the true champions do. They're going to roll with the punches and they're going to keep coming back for more. So number six habit. You know, we've got to put habits into place. But we've also got to stop doing certain things. So that's why this one is so important, and it's the habit of saying no. The habit of saying no is one of the key secrets to success. Steve Jobs said it over and over again. Deciding what not to do is as important as deciding what to do. And what I notice is people try to please everybody all of the time. And as you know, it doesn't work like that, right? It just doesn't. So you truly do have to have a longer no list. And generally a shorter yes list. No to bad habits, right? And only you know what they are. No to distractions. No to doing other people's jobs for them. Sometimes, again, that's just a front because you're afraid of doing what you know you need to do, of putting out endless fires. And like I mentioned earlier, people pleasing. No to wasting your time, basically. You know, people need to earn your time. If you don't value your time, then other people are not going to value your time either. Saying no to spending time with the wrong people. You know, you do have to look at your relationships and say, okay, you know, who am I not prepared to spend as much time with? Because they're draining you. They're like the vampires, stealing your focus, stealing your energy. So having the courage to say no more gracefully really does allow you to stay laser focused and on task. And then number 7 is the habit of adding extraordinary value. And isn't that, you know, the whole message of going the extra mile? You know, what we're understanding there, even if things are tough going for you. What I noticed was that when things weren't going great, for me, when I felt stuck, when I felt like I wasn't in the right place that I should have been, you know, I did get super frustrated, like any of us. But when I learned that, you know what, I'm here for a reason, and I at times was doing jobs that I knew that I didn't really want to be there. But what was the point in having a split mind and having a lot of my attention going into, I hate this job, I wish I was somewhere else? Only when I really, really started being present and adding as much value as I could in whatever way that I could, I started to understand the law of cause and effect. That is so true, what you sow, you shall reap. And that's in terms of your actions, your thoughts, your feelings, right? What goes around definitely does come around. As you give, so you shall receive. And by turning your attention outwards, rather than just focusing on, well, how am I doing all the time? By asking yourself, you know, how can I genuinely serve in a better way? Then again, you're just getting in the wavelength, as you know, as you've experienced so many times, of something that's innate inside of us all. Right? It's a movement inside of us all. And, of course, your business is tailor-made for that. But it's going to allow you then to attract the attention of a different type of person. You know, the service you render will bring back better than average results. Following this habit, it's going to make you stand out. It really puts you in a position where you can write your own ticket. It really does. Because so many people, unfortunately more than ever, they seem to want something for nothing. They seem to, you know, not want to embrace the challenges and have that commitment to continuously getting better. So you can start right now, and whatever you're doing in your life right now, if you just go the extra mile, just that little bit more, right, in this state of mind that is positive, that is joyous, then you're going to get superior results. And, you know, if you do it for just 7 days in a row even, right, you're going to notice such a change inside of you. And as a result then, of course, in your external results as well. So after that then, it's just identifying on a daily basis your best practices. According to the research, having daily routines in place really does trigger creativity. So again, I'm going to emphasize that before you switch on your computer in the morning, before you check your email first thing, before you start responding to the text messages, that as much as possible, you do the inner work first time, because that is a controllable win you can start your day with and you can end your day with too. Again, what research shows is that if you make it your business to create blocks of time, right, that you just identify your most productive hours and your high leverage actions, you just block out the distractions and you just, you know, if you've got to make a series of calls, you do it all in a block of time. You may have to do two blocks of time in your day, but that's essential. And again, you're keeping it simple. Again, as Edison said, most people get up every day and do many things. And he said that he just got up every day and he just did a few things. And that was the secret of his mastery. So for me personally, there are certain routines I go through every day, and they're just habits. And if I leave, well, especially if I leave the first one out, then again, it's like difference between night and day, like I said earlier. So for me, I always start the day off with an hour. People ask me, well, how long do you spend doing these things? You know, I say, look, 10 minutes, great, is going to be fine. Me, I value taking a whole hour out to do my mental rehearsal, do my blueprint, do my meditation, do a bit of Tai Chi. I'll plan my day, read something inspirational. But it just makes all the difference in the world. Then I'll make sure that I'm doing some form of exercise. It's great. It's wonderful being here at the moment in Vancouver. I'm obviously here for the whole summer. You know, it's pretty amazing just to get out on the bike and just to go to the gym. But I use my exercise to deliberately up my focus. That's why I put in laser focus daily exercise there. So when I'm in the gym, you know, and I'm doing a particular, working on a particular muscle group, I'm not thinking about what I have to do later on. I'm deliberately using it as a practice for developing my capacity to focus with laser-like precision. So not only do I feel ecstatic after that, because there's a release of endorphins and everything, but I've also developed the capacity for a deeper level of focus. So for me, I might just, you know, go to the gym 3 times a week, and then the other days we'd more of an aerobic type of exercise. But I try to get the exercise in 5 days a week. That's me personally, right? I practice being present, right? Every day for about 30 minutes, sometimes a bit more, and sometimes a bit less, sometimes it's 20 minutes. I'll get out and I'll take a walk in nature and I'll just practice being present. Or I'll take a walk and I'll plug in the headphones and I'll listen to something inspirational. You know, I'm always listening. I'm like you. I love listening to stuff as well. I recently got to all these recordings from Hay House, and I like to listen to those every now and again. Or I like to, just take out the headphones and just, you know, if I'm walking in the park or whatever, then I'll just use my senses just to be more in the now and to really appreciate what's going on around me. But again, that really helps to rejuvenate me in my day. Every day, after I've got the things done on my priority action list, I'll always spend a bit of time, you know, sometimes it's more longer than others, but on one of my passion projects. Something that, again, lights me up, that's part of my vision for the future. And then without fail, every evening, I'm writing in my journal. And remember the research on that. But I will do it, and I'll write my appreciations, but I'll also write my requests right in that journal. My requests to my subconscious mind, my requests to this infinite intelligence, to the universe itself. You know, I really will say, you know, this is what I'm having, and I'm happy and grateful that it's all happening the way I want it to. And I'll sit there, and I'll just hold that space for a few minutes. And I find that really, really beneficial. I really find that works very, very well. So I'll immerse myself in that feeling of gratitude. I literally feel that lightness running through me. I'll even imagine a brightness running all around my body and moving into my journal and into my goals. And again, like I say, I just keep in that space, even just for, you know, a few minutes. I find it works really, really well. So, again, feel free to key in any questions if you want, but I want to go through the Going the Extra Mile blueprint. Again, just a journey of consciousness where you're on your path and you're, you know, just putting those habits in place. And it's something that you listen to that's, again, just reminding you of the importance of that. Okay? Okay, so let's go for it then, and let's have fun with the process too. So closing your eyes and allowing yourself to relax completely, as always, never listening to this when you're driving a car. I know that's obvious, but really take this time out now to connect with yourself, to be really present, and it's always an opportunity when you listen to this or any other blueprint to go deeply inward and to activate even more of your subconscious mind, have it working for you even more, impress upon it at a deeper level the goals that you want, reinforce where you're going, create that extra special piece of magic. So just imagine your path in front of you with your signposts along the way to your bigger vision. And decide that you are indeed going to fight for your success. That you're going to put those habits in place every week. Picture yourself now, vividly see yourself sitting down and planning your week. Reflecting on your previous week, acknowledging your wins, learning the lessons that you needed to learn, and just asking yourself, what would make it a great week? each day in every way, you're going to take more consistent action, more high-leveraged action. You'll find it easier to ignore distractions. So I want you to imagine your top five list. And just picture checking off one goal after another after another. And give yourself a big smile because it's moving you in the direction of your goals and dreams. As you move along your path now, feel how good it feels to stretch, to grow, to move out of your comfort zone, and to demonstrate boldness on a regular basis. But having fun, being courageous, really going for it. Because as you know, that boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. And just bring to mind your current circumstances. And there are things that are moving in the right direction. And, well, actually, everything's moving in the right direction because even with the various challenges that are going on, you can reframe those challenges. Any so-called failure is essential to your success. So go ahead now and reframe any obstacles that are currently showing up in your life. Any challenges, know they are there for a reason, to help you become more. And remember, it's often not a case of resources, but resourcefulness. So you can dig deeper. And you are on your journey. So I want you to imagine that you could step back and look at the bigger picture, the entire journey. You know your vision. And it's so beautiful and big and bold and bright, and it's calling you forward. But you also know that when you embark on your journey, yes, there can be dark days. Yes, it's inevitable there are obstacles, tests, challenges. But you are your own hero or heroine moving forward. Feel how good that feels now to rewrite your story. You're on a grand adventure. You're the star of your movie. And like all great movies, you have to overcome the obstacles, stare adversity in the face, prove the naysayers wrong. Boldly go after what you want. Because, as Helen Keller once said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. So as you move along your path now, notice how you're persisting. You're becoming more highly resilient. As you reduce your recovery time from negativity, as you're willing to course correct, powerfully moving forward now, staying laser focused, hear yourself, gracefully saying no. No to bad habits. No to distractions. No to wasting time. No to interruptions. And as you live your life to the full, as you show up as your best self, see yourself now vividly as that person who just adds extraordinary value, who goes the extra mile. You understand that what you sow, so shall you reap. So imagine you taking on some best practices every single day, in every way, that guarantee your success. And now just go to your big vision. Be there as if it's already happened. As you're in your own body, looking out your own eyes, see what you see, feel what you feel, make it bigger and brighter, pull it in closer to you. And every time you go here, you'll notice you're imprinting it even more. And as you look back, you've achieved this vision because you put these habits in place and you stuck to them. So coming back, feeling excited about your journey, when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes. Okay, so again, any opportunity I get, I'm certainly going to be, as you know, just reminding you where you're going and creating those new neural pathways, opening up those new pathways to give you more choices. And I think this is a very important call, because we just tend to go through the motions unknowingly. We're maybe operating way below our potential. So it's really identifying that level, and it's moving towards it and gaining ground every day, isn't it? So again, as always, thank you for being present and being willing to go the extra mile. I know you really want this. You're destined to achieve this success that you deserve, and I believe so much more than even what you could offer yourself. You know, again, it's just, I guess, reminding ourselves, right? I remind myself all the time, and hopefully you do too, that we really do live in a friendly universe that is looking to give us everything that we ask for and more. That is our birthright. And it's just more and more getting in on that vibration. And then you have what I always call the magic working for you in your life. So keep going for it. And obviously I'll be talking to a lot of you individually as well between now and next call. But in the meantime, again, maybe you can email me and keep me posted of your progress. That would be awesome. So make it a great rest of the week, and we shall speak soon. Keep going the extra mile.